Commodore Hour is on the air. Over the next hour, we'll discuss the latest around Vanderbilt athletics and hear from players, coaches, and administrators. Commodore Hour is brought to you by Gupton Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Springfield. By Regions. Get the Vanderbilt University Visa check card from Regions. Visit Regions.com/anchor down to order yours today. And by the Middle Tennessee Ford Dealers. Built Ford Tough. Commodore Hour starts now.
Welcome into another edition of Commodore Hour. Great to have you with us on a Monday night in Nashville. Alongside Andrew Allegretta, I'm Kevin Ingram. And coming up on tonight's show, going to visit with Vanderbilt Men's Basketball Associate Head Coach Ed Conroy and also Vanderbilt Women's Coach Shay Ralph. Sort of a low-key week for these programs. Players taking exams and finishing up the semester, and then back in action. Both teams will play on Saturday at Memorial Gym. So a little downtime here. I know, get a couple days off from practice and then get back into that. But also, I mean, it's very strenuous in terms of the academics around here, so you got to make sure you take care of those things too.
You know what's interesting is before the conversation with Coach Ralph here today, and I talked about it with her as well, I spoke with Christina Fogey and I spoke with Ashley Early about their experience as a student athlete and what this week is like, because sometimes I feel like on this side of the microphone, we kind of go to those typical tropes. Oh, the Vanderbilt athlete must be so smart. The Harvard athlete must be so smart. The Northwestern, the Duke, the so on and so forth. And then you kind of want to get a feel of what it's actually like for them. And if those things are as true as we talk about, at least according to those two, it's no joke.
Right.
There's a lot of, you know, all of the competitiveness that you feel on the fields or the court or wherever in terms of iron sharpening iron, and there's no place to hide in the SEC. I think the student athletes feel that in the classroom here.
Sure.
They are surrounded by very intelligent individuals, which is wonderful, but they recognize very quickly that, especially in a week like this, there's no place to hide. That bell curve is going to be nasty to you if you're not focused up. So it was an interesting conversation, and I know many student athletes are very focused up, at least right now this week, to make sure that everything is in order.
Thought or two on the women's program, where they sit 6-5 with the game coming up on Saturday. Beat Albany in the weekday game last week in front of all the school kids. And the atmosphere is always cranked up in there when the kids are in the building. But you know, that was one of those games. Sometimes you just have to make your way through the game and get out of there with a win. And it kind of felt like that's what they did in that.
You know, what's funny about those two, and I said it on our SEC Network Plus broadcast, is the best part about those games is when you get the elementary school kids in the building, it's indiscriminate screaming. It doesn't matter. If the ball goes through the hoop for either side, the crowd goes crazy, which is fun to see. But they, and we'll talk about this more with Coach Ralph, they have defined themselves by their defense recently. They forced 24 turnovers from Albany last weekend, and that is becoming their thing. And we get kind of in-depth with Coach Ralph about why they've decided to go that direction in terms of full-court press or half-court trap or whatever it is. But it has worked for them so far. They have kept themselves in games that maybe people didn't think that they would be in, and they have won games that they very much needed to win because they've started to define themselves by steals and forcing turnovers, of which they're in the top two or three of the SEC in both categories. So that's a bulk of our conversation. Again, they're kind of coming into their own defensively.
As for the men's team, Friday night, took on Loyola Chicago. Going into that game, I felt like this was going to be the best opponent that Vanderbilt had faced so far this season. And I came away from that game feeling the same way. Loyola won by 11, 69-58. The threes were really a big story in the game. They hit 17 of 37, Loyola did, including 9 of them in the second half. Vanderbilt only 3 out of 19 behind the arc. That's a big difference in the game. Really, free throw shooting helped keep Vanderbilt in it a whole lot of the night. 15 of 19 overall, 8 of 10 in the second half. But Loyola was as advertised. And I think, and even in talking to Jerry Stackhouse going into the game, he said this program that we're going to see reminds us of what we want to be in terms of passing, making that extra pass, one more to get that best look. That's what they did throughout the night and getting those good looks from three. I think Vanderbilt defensively felt like there are some things that they'll need to clean up and do better from that one. But in some ways, you just tip your cap because Loyola made a whole bunch of shots in that game. And the guard, Braden Norris, it seemed like every time they needed bailing out or something, he'd either make a pass or he'd hit a three, and he was a big factor in the game. So that was a really good team. And I think Vanderbilt probably feels like yeah, I wish could have come out with a win, but probably some things you can take away from that one in terms of a little bit of a measuring stick as far as where you are in your season here in the non-conference.
You know, I know the conversations that I have with Shane on the SEC Network Plus side of things. I'm curious, like, was there a top one, two, or three things that Tim Thompson was focused on throughout the course of your radio broadcast that he felt was significant for Vanderbilt in terms of whether it's this game in general or the things that kind of he hopes crystallize throughout the course of conference play?
I think it's more so on the offensive end, really. Defensively, this team's been pretty good throughout the course of the season. Going into this game against Loyola, Vanderbilt had allowed only 28% from three and only six per game, allowed only 37% in terms of field goal percentage, and done some good things defensively, whether it's playing man or playing zone to 1-3-1 and the different looks that Jerry Stackhouse has given teams over this opening stretch of games. That end of the court generally has been good, I think, throughout these first nine games. The offensive end is where this team really has to improve if we're going to have a chance to have a good season in conference play. And a lot of it is just simply making shots. Get good looks at times, but Jerry Stackhouse talks about the ball sticking sometimes. And
it really sticks with Vanderbilt. And to be honest, some of it is – I don't want to say it's by design. That's not fair. It's not by design for the ball to stick. But if you're going to be anchored with one or two scorers, that's kind of what might end up happening. Mm-hmm. You play a two-man game with Pippen and Wright, and you're going to see the ball between two people. It's not going to be a whip it around the perimeter like Loyola did.
Right. And you simply just have to have more scorers involved more often. Scotty's having a nice season, had 23 on Friday night against Loyola, and has had some really nice games in this recent stretch. But yeah, you've seen flashes from other people. You've seen Miles Studi have a 20-point game. You've seen Jordan Wright have a couple big offensive games. Jermaine Mann's had a couple 15-point games, had a really good game against Temple in that game a week ago, or almost a week ago on Tuesday. This all Vanderbilt come from way behind just in the last minute or so. But yeah, just have to have more consistent offense. The game against Temple to me was really interesting. Vanderbilt scored 17 points in the last minute nine of the game, scored 15 points inside the final minute. I mean, you've had stretches of halves where you haven't seen that kind of output, but it gives you a little glimpse and say, okay, this team is capable offensively. And the thing I liked about that game is when you got down to the last minute and you're down by 7 points inside the last minute, they really executed, played the foul game, worked the game, as the coaches talk about, got the ball back on an intentional miss free throw, and then Jordan Wright, a perfect pass to Scotty in the corner for that three that tied the game. So you see things at times that make you know this team is capable offensively, but just need to see more consistency on that end.
Yeah, and I do think, just going back to the Temple game for a second, it's worth giving the coaching staff some credit for small things, like you say, working the game. You get the baseline out-of-bounds situation to try to tie it. They start to run a play, and then a timeout gets called, and they run similar action but on the opposite side of the floor to just throw enough of a wrinkle to get Scotty open. That's all it took, just a small wrinkle. We're not going to come back to exactly the same action, but we ran it in a way that created space for Scotty. So that, when you say working the game, that's working the game. That's a small coaching decision that forced that game to overtime. You need to have Scotty make the shot, which he's a fantastic player, so he did, but that's when all of the parts come together.
So the men's team will be back in action. We'll see Austin Peay here at Memorial Gym coming up on Saturday. A quick thought, football this week is the beginning of the December signing period. That will be on Wednesday. I know we're going to talk a lot about that in our podcast coming up later this week. Coach Clark Lee, and I'm sure we'll probably talk to Barton Simmons too at some point, but excited about this recruiting class and what's to come in the future.
Yeah, again, we followed this kind of slightly removed from the situation. We can't at this point in time talk about specific players, but we're mindful of what the conversation is. And even as we sit here right now talking about it, it sounds like there's this really interesting surge towards the finish line in the next 48 hours here to get Vanderbilt, quite frankly, one of its best recruiting classes. I don't know if it's ever or in just a really long time as far as these services rank recruiting classes. And look, you've got to get out there and you've got to develop them and all of that kind of stuff. It doesn't end on signing day. But even Barton Simmons would tell you, and he said it specifically in an article that I think The Athletic wrote maybe back in April, that stars do matter. Mm-hmm. The total depth of stars that you're able to bring into your program matter. Just go back and look at Georgia's recruiting classes over the past handful of years, or Alabama. It's not the finished product by any stretch, but elevating yourself up the recruiting rankings on a consistent basis does matter. And if anybody knows that, certainly Barton Simmons does.
And we'll have that coverage coming up for you on Wednesday. So make sure you're around VUCommodores.com. It will be a great place to start for coverage of the December signing period. Before we take a break, quick thought to our neighbors to the north.
Yes.
In Kentucky, with all the damage and loss of life with the tornadoes that happened late Friday night, early Saturday morning. Just want to let the folks who might be listening in from up there. I know my hometown of Bowling Green and Mayfield, really the destruction was just heartbreaking to see. But, you know, a whole path up through western Kentucky and all that area. Just want to let folks know we're thinking about them. And certainly our thoughts will continue to be with them as they clean up and rebuild up there here in the coming weeks and months ahead.
Yeah, I don't have any magical words. It's been heartbreaking to follow all of that stuff. On a personal note, going through it for the first time was unnerving, to say the least. It's the first time that I've heard tornado sirens go off throughout the course of a city. But yeah, hearts and minds and thoughts, you know, very much engaged with what's going on to our neighbors not that far up the road, 45 miles, 60 miles up the road, and everything that's happening in western Kentucky. Like, we enjoy talking about sports, but we're not detached from reality. So our thoughts are certainly there.
Yep. And certainly some people in Tennessee, too, that have been affected in this area had storms.
Yes, sir.
Around Mount Julia, where I live, and some other places, Dixon and other places around this area. So I'll let you know we're thinking about you. When we come back, Vanderbilt Basketball Associate Head Coach Ed Conroy from the men's program will be our guest as we continue with the Commodore Hour on the Vanderbilt Sports Network. Welcome back to Commodore Hour as we continue on this Monday night from the Music City. We are joined by Vanderbilt Basketball Associate Head Coach Ed Conroy on the road doing some recruiting work with no games this week until Saturday, a couple days off from practice. Coach, welcome, and a good chance here to recharge for the guys after just all the preseason work and about nine games in a month or so.
No doubt. And, you know, it's I always felt like December, even though you have, you know, our guys are really focused on exams right now and finishing up their academic work. You get through a non-conference slate that shows you different styles of play and get to go against, you know, different types of opponents. And then you get some practice time and great time to, you know, kind of recharge your batteries, but also improve on the things that from the information you've gotten from those non-conference games.
What did you feel like the team took away from that game with Loyola Friday? It was a really experienced team, and they were very hot from three in that game Friday night.
Well, I think, you know, we've made it very tough on people to score this year, but Loyola is obviously a veteran team and a well-schooled team, and I'm moving the basketball and really trying to, you know, hurt you from three, turning down a lot of two-point opportunities to throw it back out there for three, and just seeing that type of an attack. I mean, we've been really good at protecting the paint and making it tough on people to score, but they really have the ability to spread you and shoot from all five spots. So, you know, our guys are continuing to get better at their rotations and playing together, a chemistry, if you will, on the defensive end, and that was a stiff test, and you know, there was times we did well, but obviously they broke away to make quite a few threes.
You know, Coach Stackhouse talks about the ball sticking sometimes. Is Loyola a good example of how to keep it moving and make that one more pass to get that best look?
Well, I think, you know, and like all teams this year, we've had games where you know, we've done some very good things and had some great moments, and then there's some inconsistency, and, you know, kind of the same, I would say the same for Loyola, but I think you're exactly right. I mean, they in that game against us the other night, they really showed the value of turning down maybe a good shot or even a very good shot, you know, for a great shot, and making sure they kept everybody involved and the ball really was moving for them, and they got into a nice groove there, which made it hard to keep track of all their shooters and get to every one of them.
You mentioned this a moment ago, you know, talking about defense. Do you feel like overall, though, this team has done a good job through this first stretch of games and really improving in that area?
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt. I think you know, credit to the guys and coach. I mean, we play very hard, and we're very active on that defensive end, and you can tell there's an obvious commitment there to get stops, and it's one of those things people all the time usually relate when they see a player's whether it's their free throw percentage or their 3-point shooting or something. It's easy to see sometimes improvement on the offensive end, not as easy to see it on the defensive end, but it's really five guys working together, and it takes time sometimes. But I think there's been no question we've shown a solid foundation on that end, but But I, you know, I think Coach and all the guys on the team know there's still room for us to improve, and I think we will throughout the year because they are giving such great effort.
How much of a struggle has it been to find consistent scoring, you know, especially to go with Scotty, who's, you know, had really overall has had a really nice season so far?
Yeah, I, you know, it's been difficult. I mean, we've had some really nice moments, you know, whether it was, you know, Trey's explosion in the second half against Pitt, you know, Miles has gone for 20, Jordan Wright has gone for 20. You know, there's been some really nice moments, but just finding that consistency across the board of, you know, each and every night. And a little bit of that is just, you know, a lot of new guys working together. But also I think just to kind of a function, we have several guys that can, and coaches certainly willing to go with the hot hand on any given night. So, you know, I think that's another thing. As we go through this season, you'll see, you know, the chemistry will get there. And, you know, obviously we've battled some injuries as well, and it's not exactly the same group that was together in the fall.
Sure.
You know, going through those practices. So, you know, again, those things take time. And I think one of the great things about our schedule, even though it's been tough, you know, with the teams, but the different styles of play, I mean, you probably can't get any more unique or different if you said VCU and then you're going to play Loyola, you know, like
right.
those two are miles apart, both very successful programs, but they approach it in a drastically different way.
Coach Ed Conroy is our guest, and you know, there's some very capable shooters on this Vanderbilt team from three. Is improving that a matter of guys working on their own, or do you take a look at mechanics, you guys as coaches, and find things to work on? How do you approach that with the players?
Well, I think it's all of the above. You know, the guys and this group works extremely hard. I mean, they're in there every night shooting, getting extra shots up, and but you know, there's sometimes some individual things you can tweak with somebody. There's you know, certainly some chemistry as far as playing together and guys getting used to it. I'm a big believer that, you know, shooting the basketball is a lot about rhythm. And, you know, most of the rhythm comes from, you know, you get a familiarity with your teammates, knowing when and where you're going to get the basketball. And, you know, as these guys are kind of fighting for playing time and things like that, as all that evens out and becomes more consistent, I think you'll see their shooting percentages go up as well.
How do you feel like the freshmen are making strides, you know, talking about Shane and Gabe especially?
You know, those two are going to be good basketball players for us and, you know, valuable parts of our program. I think, again, like so many things, it comes at different times for guys, but I could see them both having – you know, big, you know, whether you say second semester or once we start conference play, having a big impact on our rotation because they both continue to improve. But it's a lot. You know, I've always thought, and we've all acknowledged that before, that, you know, it's hard for freshmen to come in. You know, there's maybe, you know, four or five around the country that make a immediate impact at the top, but then the rest of 90% of them, it takes a little bit of time. I think it's more so now than ever. When you say the transfer portal and then COVID, and the way guys were able to use a COVID year, and then there's other guys, you know, able to plug in with a transfer. You're just like this Loyola team we saw the other night. Now you're an 18-year-old freshman, and you could be going against 23 and 24-year-olds. You know, like it's a more experienced, you know, more seasoned, you know, group out there amongst the best teams, and even tougher for freshmen now.
Yeah, it's almost like culture shock, I'm sure, you know, from a physical standpoint, an experience standpoint, and really, you know, the academic part that goes with it, especially at a place like this.
Oh, no question. You know, but these guys, but both of them, I would say that it's been really, their attitude's been great. Their work ethics, you know, what you would want. And then, you know, they're soaking in the coaching. They're going to both be fine players.
Our guest is Ed Conroy, Vanderbilt Associate Head Coach. We continue with Commodore Hour. We'll have more in just a moment on the Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield. Welcome back. This is Commodore Hour. It's great to have you with us, and we're visiting with Associate Head Coach Ed Conroy. Vanderbilt a few days off from games until Saturday. We'll be back at it on Saturday afternoon against Austin Peay. I want to ask you about the other game last week against Temple. What did you feel like this team took away, and how did this team grow from really that comeback at the end where there were some really nicely executed things in that last minute plus to come back from nine down?
I thought we showed a lot of just a lot of character, a lot of grit, you know, determination. You know, the guys were, it was a hard fought game. It was a physical game. And to dig down deep and find that energy first and foremost, you know, it's one thing to execute some special situation things, which obviously, you know, coach drew up some great things in the timeout and our guys went out there and were able to execute them. But, you know, it starts with the energy and they were able to dig down deep and, you know, and not give in. I think it was down nine with maybe just a little over a minute to go or something. Yep. And just, you know, that was impressive. And, you know, I thought for sure, then we come out in the overtime and got those first couple baskets. And, you know, it was tough emotionally probably to see that one slip away after you did that.
I want to ask you a little about your background. You spent five seasons at Minnesota. I've been to Minneapolis. It was in July, but does it always feel like winter's coming when you're up there? Because that's the way it felt to me in the middle of the summertime.
Well, I tell you what, July and August, you sit out in that backyard. Those summer nights are really special. But you're just thinking, man, this is just such a short time period. We got to start preparing for winter. I don't know if I didn't get my wife down south here pretty soon. I don't know what would have happened because those winters got long. But it's a great place and great people.
Yeah, going from Tulane to Minneapolis, that has to be about the biggest weather jump you can get, isn't it? From hot and humid. To cold weather,
all the way to the bottom of the Mississippi River, all the way to where it started, all the way at the top. So we did the entire journey.
Now, Williams Arena and Memorial Gym, a little similar, maybe, with the way the courts are situated.
They really are. They're two of the more unique facilities in college basketball. But you know, and Williams, you know, like it's all four sides. You can fall off there, and it's pretty close. So it's and you sit, you know, whereas you sit at the end at Vandy at Williams, you're in the normal spot on the court, but you're down below. You're probably, it's a 3 or 4 foot drop off there. So you're kind of looking at the referee's shoes as they run by.
You ever see any guys go over the edge when they're not paying attention?
Oh, absolutely. It happened in practice several times. You talk about freshmen adjusting, that's a big one for them right there, because that baseline is not real deep before you can head off the end. And we had a couple. I'm surprised it hasn't happened more, but probably in my 5 years there, we had two during games that were a little scary. And you know, and I had one in practice myself one time. The play started getting at me a little fast. I was underneath that basket. I looked for a place to jump off, and I kind of jumped to a chair that wasn't real stable. So it ended up as a big collision down there. But it's it makes for an interesting time. The couple teams would come in each year, and the night before practice, they'd practice sliding off the court and make a big deal about it. So that's just their way of, I guess, getting a jab in at us.
You know, as a coach, do you have to learn to appreciate the journey and take away things from each stop in your career?
Oh, yeah, and you do. And I've been really fortunate. Been just able to go to some great institutions and work with fantastic people. It's it makes for a busy you know, Saturday when you're sitting at home and you're trying to, you know, root for the last 10 schools you've been at football. But and you have a tie. It seems like you have a tie everywhere. But that's it's been a great great journey, a lot of fun, and you know, and this stop no different. Extremely excited to be here at Vanderbilt and with Coach Stackhouse and all the people on his staff.
How has having been a head coach given you a little different perspective on what all really goes into being in that job?
You know, I think I've always said that the most, as far as personal growth, I always felt like, and I have moved, you know, a lot of different schools, was when you leave a school and then the very next year you get to see someone else coach those players and maybe a player that you thought was going to be really good. And you know, maybe he struggles when you leave. And then another guy that you thought, you know, I wonder how they'll use him, and he just explodes. So you get to kind of, if you really look at it objectively and kind of keep the emotions out, you can kind of learn a lot. And you know, each time you leave somewhere, but no more so than when you go from being a head coach, maybe somewhere, and then go to be an assistant. And I was very fortunate. I was a Division II head coach in the mid-90s, and I thought I grew a ton from going from head coach back to assistant, and then when I got a chance to be a head coach again at the Division I level, I thought that experience of going back and forth, you know, really, really helped me, you know, just from a perspective. And it is interesting, you know, I was a head coach between Siddle and Tulane, you know, for 10 years, and then you go and you're an assistant in Minnesota, and when you're an assistant – from the day one when you start recruiting players to then they're on campus, you just have an ability to be so much closer to them in their development and what they're thinking, and
sure,
you can get back in their mindset a little bit. And that's the thing that I've always, you know, struck me. I tried to be really close with the players as a head coach, but you just realize those as an assistant, you just have a much greater opportunity to form those bonds with them on a daily basis.
Now, you're also part of a college basketball family. Do you compare notes with your sons or maybe your brother at times?
Oh, yeah. My mom laughs all the time. She's got a bunch of them out there. I have a brother who's associate head coach at Louisiana Tech. I have a son who's assistant coach at Southeastern Louisiana. But I also have a brother-in-law who's the voice of the Toronto Raptors. I have another nephew who's working over with Lipscomb's basketball team. I have another nephew that's working with Iowa's basketball team. You know, so they're all over. But it's a lot of fun. And my mom, she has definitely learned how to use the iPad and ESPN Plus.
Yeah, I think all our families have learned that over the years. You made multiple trips to the Middle East with Operation Hardwood. I was reading about that. How much does that give you appreciation for the troops and really the sacrifices that them and their families make?
Well, that was a tremendous opportunity for me. It was fascinating. I was able to go over there with some of the best coaches in the country and guys that are all, you know, in the Hall of Fame. And we would go over there and not only do some goodwill type things, but we'd also, you know, coach the troops and kind of in these tournaments. But I tell you what, it was kind of life changing, really, to see what they go through and the sacrifices they make on a daily basis. Incredible people that serve in our military, and I can't say enough about them. I could tell you stories for days on end of what I saw and things like that. But
sure.
Just to kind of sum it up, it was inspiring. At the same time, when you went over there, you just kind of felt like, you know, what am I doing over here? You know, what can I do? But they just want somebody from home, and coaches are really, because we go out recruiting and we've coached players from so many different, you know, places in the country, it usually doesn't take very long where we can make a connection to their hometown or their home state. And they just love to talk about those kind of things because they don't get those voices from home, you know, when they're over there. So, you know, hopefully we gave a little bit of that to them, but they gave us a lot more in return, because just watching them go about their jobs and over there and how professional they were and how dedicated it was inspiring.
All right, one more for you. I got to think next week's probably not going to be your first trip to Hawaii. How fun of an experience will that be for these guys?
That'd be great. I think basketball is just meant to be a tournament type sport, you know, where you can play every day. You can't do that in a lot of other sports where you play a different opponent, you know, each day and you don't know who it is. I think that's one thing that makes basketball so exciting. I have been over to Hawaii several times, whether it was the Maui Classic or playing Hawaii at one time. And when I was at Tulsa, we were in a league with Hawaii. So that was part of our conference schedule. So been over there under a lot of different circumstances, and it's always been an enjoyable trip, and I think our guys will have a great time, but also there's some quality teams, so we're gonna have to play some good basketball.
Yeah, it's gonna be a tough tournament feel for sure. Associate head coach Ed Conroy, thank you so much for the time. Safe travels, and we'll see you back here in Nashville.
Thank you.
More of Commodore Hour coming up in just a moment on the Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield.
Welcome back to tonight's edition of the Commodore Hour. Andrew Allegretta here with Jay Ralph, the head women's basketball coach here at Vanderbilt. A little bit of a quiet week for you guys. We're going into finals, so we'll talk about all of that sort of stuff. And you guys don't play again until Saturday when Presbyterian comes to town. Got a good win against Albany this past weekend. But I want to start here, coach. And it seems like, and I'll let you put it in your own words, that you guys have found a little bit of a rhythm defensively. I think it's top two or three in the conference in terms of steals, or top two or three in the conference in terms of forcing turnovers. And specifically against Albany, we saw an aggressive press. We saw an aggressive trap. Walk us through that. I'll let you decide exactly how you want to phrase it all, but why has that been the thing that you've leaned on over the past couple of weeks for your program?
I think there's a lot of different reasons for why it's started to be kind of our calling card, if that's what people are going to call it, or you know, our identity is
sure.
Kind of coming together in a bunch of different ways. Part of it was just figuring out what works for our team. and, you know, trying a bunch of different things early on, seeing what clicked, what didn't. We are small. So I think we have to be more creative on both ends of the floor, especially as we go into conference play. And one of the things that has really stuck out from the beginning to us as coaches is our ability to be pretty aggressive on defense now. Sometimes that translates into fouls, so we've also been in foul trouble a little bit. And so there's always a risk and reward when you talk about playing full court the entire game like we do now and like we plan on doing, I think, you know, for the remainder of the season. When it started to become something that our players really enjoyed, that they really bought into, we saw some success from it. It helped us offensively. Now, we still have some work to do there, too. We throw the ball away just as much as we turn other people over, and so we have to clean that up. But it gives us an aggressive mentality right from the start of the game, and I think we need that. I think we need to make the game a full-court game for our team, especially going into the SEC Conference when we're going to play some teams that have some, you know, really, really big girls on their team. We got to run them up and down the floor and get them tired. So I think for us, really the first couple of months of the season is making sure that we figure out who we are as a team, what our identity is going to be on both ends of the floor. Defensively, it's come together a lot quicker, I think, than it has offensively. But, you know, like you said, we have a little bit of a break right now. Our players are in finals, so that's our focus. Our coaches are traveling a lot with recruiting, and we get a little bit of a break from playing games, but there's always work to be done. And now we can work on cleaning up some things offensively and defensively that we really haven't had time to do with all the games that we played in November and the travel. We were just really in prep mode. So I'm excited for the next week before we play Presbyterian, and then I'm excited to play a couple of games before we get another break for Christmas.
As far as your experience playing this, is it something that you've leaned on historically, whether at UConn, or was it something that maybe Tom did quite a bit at UMass Lowell, perhaps back at Boston College? Where are the roots of the way that you want to play this style?
Yeah, it really started with conversations we had as a staff, and Tommy had done a little bit of it recently. Now, when I was a player at UConn, we pressed because we had 10 All-Americans that needed to play, so we just played full court the whole game so that everybody could get in the game. But, you know, it's a little bit different here, but the aggressive mentality is the same. I liked the idea of it. I liked as we moved into practice and we were finding, you know, playing defense for 30 seconds in the half court wasn't really being successful for us, and neither was that in offense, then we decided, okay, we need to extend and kind of play all up the court, the entire game, on both ends of the floor. We need to make it a full court game, and then, you know, we started brainstorming a few things, tried a few things in practice, but it was really Coach Tom that kind of brought some of those things to the table, and then each of us had our own little zone ideas, half court trapping ideas. But that's why I love my staff. I mean, it doesn't always have to be my idea. And in fact, some of my offensive ideas in the beginning didn't work at all. And I had to go back to the drawing board. But I have an experienced staff, and we can continuously bounce ideas off of each other and come up with what's right for this team. And that's exactly what happened.
Talking with head coach Jay Ralph, let's do a little X's and O's to the best of our ability without a whiteboard and video and all of that kind of stuff. When you're talking about pressures and traps, and if I need to use different vernacular,
no, that's pretty good. Yeah,
that's the basic stuff. But when it comes to this mentality, what is or is there a 1A priority that you instill with your players? We start day one. We're going to start doing this level of trap or this level of press, whatever it is. What is the initial conversation that you need to get across from a technical standpoint to your players?
Yeah, it's really not. Defense really, I mean, there are things that we talk about in terms of when we're going to trap. Around, everyone calls it like coffin corner when you're on the sideline by half court.
Right, just get past the half court line and
it's a really dangerous place to bring the ball. So we talk about the timing of our traps, where we want the traps, what happens when we're in a trap and they're trying to get the ball out. All of those technical pieces are important, but none of that matters if we don't play hard and we don't play with the kind of energy and effort and that we don't play, if we don't play smart and together. So if I have two players that are trapping really hard and there's a lazy person in the second line that doesn't rotate up, there's two passes out, it's a layup. So we talked about more so the energy and effort and heart that defense takes, because you can be a great defensive team on your worst offensive day. Mm. We continuously talk about our effort. We continuously talk about our conditioning. We focus on that communication as well in our practices, because you know, other teams prepare too. So they're going to work on their press break. And there's going to be some things that we didn't walk through in practice that our team sees, and they have to figure that out on the court. I only have four timeouts, you know.
Yes.
So there's only, you know, there has to be a level of them understanding how to communicate with each other when other teams make adjustments and figuring it out on the fly, on the floor.
Yeah.
So all of those things are what we work on when we work on our press. And when we talk about it, we talk about the type of aggression without fouling that we need to play with. It also makes zero sense for us to go out and press full court and just foul the crap out of people, because then they're going to be sitting on the bench with me, and
right.
you know, and then we can't win. So there's some things that are technical that are really important, but none of that matters if we don't play hard and play smart and play together. So we really focus on that every single day.
Who has been, and maybe I could guess, but who has been the primary players that have help sell this style to the entire team? It always feels like there's maybe a coach on the floor, so to speak, or whatever it happens to be. Do you have one, two, or three players that have helped really galvanize your group to want to play this way?
I mean, it's obviously Jordan. Yeah.
Right.
And she loves playing defense. I mean, one of her goals is to be defensive player of the year, and that was before we decided to play defense the way we're playing now. But it kind of plays right into her greatest strengths. And, you know, we are able to put her all over the floor on defense. It's not at the top. It doesn't have to be in the back in our zone. Sometimes she can be in the middle, because she's just smart and she plays hard. And like I just said before, really, it's not, defense is not rocket science. You have a couple of things you can do. If you're really smart, you play hard, and you know how to communicate, you can wreak some havoc for teams. So it really starts with her, and her being our captain has kind of helped everybody else come together and get on board. But we have the right kind of athletes on our team to do it. So when you look at Demi Washington, who's an undersized post player, if we get her picking up the ball full court, running and jumping at people, it can be hard. Not every four in the country can do that for the whole game. Same with Brené. Brené's a big, strong guard. So when she's running at you, when you pick the ball up over half court, and she's also very aggressive, you know, that can scare a lot of people into just kind of giving us the ball. So I think it's really our veterans that have stepped up to the plate. They also have more experience. So their buy-in has rippled across the whole team, and it's been really cool.
Talk with head coach Shea Ralph. We'll step aside, continue our conversation on the Commodore Hour in just a couple of seconds after this. Women's basketball coming off a nice victory against Albany, playing next on Saturday against Presbyterian inside Memorial. Hope to see folks out to that one before we start to hit the real Christmas rush, I suppose. Coach, we'll talk a little bit about that, the schedule coming up, the break that you guys have, what you've learned about helping student athletes manage finals week here at Vanderbilt.
Yes.
You've got a couple on staff that know exactly what that's like here.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about that in a second, but last week we focused on your upperclassmen with Jordan Cambridge and Brené Alexander and what they've meant. I want to take a second and look at a freshman that continues to make an impact, at least statistically, but Ayanna Moore is someone that seems to find her minutes increasing, to say the least. I'm curious, what's Ayanna's story? Where is she from? What has she been able to accomplish so far this season? And where is her growth?
Well, she's from right down the road. And actually, she went to Crystal Dangerfield's High School, which is pretty cool for me.
Mm-hmm.
I know exactly where that is. I spent a lot of time in Murfreesboro for a couple of years recruiting Crystal. But right from the beginning of our time here at Vanderbilt, she stuck out in terms of her ability to impact the players around her. So she's really good at finding the open player, understanding how to play. She's a great passer. She probably passes the ball a little bit too much for my liking.
Isn't that a funny thing sometimes? Like, I was having that conversation with Shane Foster on one of our men's basketball broadcasts too. Like, every now and then, those players that need to shoot the basketball need to be reminded, Please shoot the basketball.
Yeah, you know, that's a much easier problem to have than the ones that won't pass it, though. Yeah. That's a much easier problem to work with. And it shows a level of selflessness that she understands how to play. She wants to make her teammates better. And those are also, to me, in my career as a coach, the best players that I've ever worked with are the ones that make everyone else better on the floor. And she does that. Now, she's really young. She has a lot of growth still to do, but she's special. And every day that she's been able to get out on the floor, get more minutes, get in practice, get a lot of reps, she's gotten better, and she's making us better. So I think that she is you guys are just seeing the very tip of the iceberg with Ayanna Moore, and you're going to hear a lot about her and see a lot of growth in her over the next several years. But I'm excited over the next few months of what we're going to see, and we'll go from there.
I don't want to miss out on the rest of the freshman class, too, because it seems like most of them have found a way to contribute one way or the other. You've got Sasha Washington that's made an impact. Kendall Cheeseman's come off the bench a couple of times. I'm sure there's a few names that I'm missing off the top of my head, but what do you appreciate about this freshman class overall?
I've talked a few times about this recently because, you know, they're playing a lot and they're contributing a lot, and it's a big class for a basketball team. And the thing that has stuck out to me about our freshman class isn't necessarily – they're obviously talented and skilled. There's a lot of growth. They're freshmen, so, you know, they know nothing most of the time. And being able to go out there and play is a blessing for them, you know. And I've been trying really hard recently to let them work through their mistakes so that they're not afraid to make them. Because that, you know, that's a kiss of death of a basketball player, is if you go out there afraid to make a mistake, and what do people say? You are what you think, right? So if you're out there thinking, I hope I don't turn the ball over, chances are you're going to turn it over.
Turn the ball over, yeah, for sure.
So thankfully, we need them to play, and I want them to be able to play through those mistakes. I think they really help us, but it's not even, and not just, I should say, their talent level and skill. Obviously, that's impactful. It's who they are as people, their energy, their, like, joy, just coming up in the office and hanging out. We have a great time. And, again, I've worked with enough really, really good teams to understand that there's something intangible that doesn't show up on a stat sheet, that doesn't show up in a resume or a bio, that makes teams great. And we used to call it, well, they just have it. Right? Our freshman class has it. They have a feel about them, a joy about them, a competitiveness about them, a confidence about them at times. Now, they're still really young and they have a lot of growth to do. They're not consistent at all enough, but that will come. That will come. The stuff that I know I can't coach, they have, and that's exciting.
Talk with head coach Jay Ralph here on the Commodore Hour. It is finals week, which is nothing worth glossing over here at Vanderbilt. Was having the conversation with Christina Fogey and Ashley earlier before we started our conversation. And there is a uniqueness about being a student athlete here at Vanderbilt during this stretch when everybody else kind of looks around and it's a break. Mm-hmm. There's no games. It's a different feeling for these student athletes. What have you learned about helping your group now through this moment in time here at this university?
Yeah, I mean, we're not the only ones
taking
finals right now, and obviously Vanderbilt is an esteemed academic institution. That goes without saying, and I'm lucky that I have the two that I do on my staff to kind of walk me through what it looks like here for our student athletes. And really giving them the freedom to focus on school right now. So yes, we are still doing workouts, basketball workouts, practice. We've given them, you know, a few days off. Every couple days we'll give them a day off so that they can study, depending on what's going on final-wise. If we have a really heavy day, then we'll back off so that they can focus on their finals. But I'm pretty sure that happens across the country. These basketball players are student athletes, right? They're college basketball players, and there's no way that they can do what they need to do on the court if they're not taking care of business in the classroom. And at the end of the day, our jobs as coaches, beyond helping them get better as basketball players and achieve their goals on the basketball court, is making sure they leave here with a college degree.
Yeah.
and that they do everything they can to set themselves up for the rest of their life. That's really important. And we talk about that every day. So, they, you know, we've had mandatory study halls all semester. You know, if anything happens in the classroom that I'm not happy with, then they don't come to practice. And, you know, they focus on that. It's always you have to take care of that first. And nothing changes now. They just get a little bit of a break from games, which happens all across the country, so that they can really focus on tying up the semester and going into this Christmas break feeling good about what they did.
You know, it's interesting having that conversation because, I don't know, just being around college athletics for a decade now, and you've done it much longer than I have, sometimes it feels like you know, Northwestern and Duke and Vanderbilt, these kids must be smart. It feels kind of like a caricature of the reality. But then you talk to them and then you go, oh, okay, now I understand why their experience was a little bit unique. Kind of the iron sharpens iron in the classroom thing, too. You talk about that with the SEC on the floor.
Right.
You're surrounded by greatness. It does feel like just talking to them that they recognize that there's no place to hide in the classroom around here as well. It was
right.
Just an interesting conversation about their experiences.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, let's wrap up our conversation here tonight. I want to know, you've got a beautiful young daughter. We are barreling toward the holidays.
We are.
And I do recognize the fact that in basketball land, barreling toward the holidays usually means like barreling toward a Christmas tournament or something
right.
like that, right? It's not an unplugged situation. How have you guys, especially with your young daughter, carved out time to celebrate and make this a special time of year for her and you guys as a family?
I think we're still working on
yeah,
that, you
know
the balance of
I can
of,
empathize yes.
Of all of it, But what's cool is that we get to do all of it together. So, you know, my husband being on my staff and our daughter is around all the time. And then we have family that lives close here in Tennessee. We have family that lives in Arkansas that will come up and spend time with us and help us decorate and do things that make it feel like the holidays for us. And then we have, starting this week, a ton of family, because we can't go anywhere, coming to visit. And I think that will really make it feel like, okay, Christmas is here, and we'll have a chance to spend the time with the people that we love, which is always what makes a holiday special, right? So the big thing for me right now is making sure I have something for her to unwrap. So Amazon is going to be getting
good.
Lots
no,
of
it's,
action for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, no, it's a helpful little tool. There's no
yeah,
doubt.
Yeah, the next few days. We have everything we need. And being able to be here together, I mean, honestly, and probably people think I'm cheesy or making, but it honestly feels like Christmas every day for me. I get to be here with my husband, my daughter, people that I've really respected and love in our business that I've coached every single day, our AD, the other coaches. This place is awesome. And so being able to spend our first Christmas here is special, but we do have a lot of work to do before we can really kind of unwind.
Coach Ralph, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Gus Wetekamp inside the U.S. Bank Studios to close us out tonight on this edition of the Commodore Hour. Thanks once again to Coach Conroy, Coach Ralph, for sitting down with Kev and Andrew as the two Vanderbilt basketball squads headed to what will be about a week-long break for finals week. You'll next catch those two teams in action coming up on Saturday. We'll have all the coverage of the men's team right here on the Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield. So, for Andrew Allegretta and Kevin Ingram, I'm Gus Wetekamp, signing off. Good night.